And then Brian Gibson from Bodle Street is going to read for us from the Acts of the Apostles, Luke's account of the life of the early church. The Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin, have been trying to prevent the apostles from preaching the good news of the resurrection of Jesus, and we pick up the account at Acts chapter 5 and verse 27.
Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you. Please be seated. So we're here today partly to give thanks
for the life of Reverend Geoffrey France, as most of you knew him. For Jeff, for Dad, as he was to me. And Dad was so many things to so many people. A loving husband, a devoted father, a proud grandfather, a cherished brother, a caring uncle, and a loyal friend. How do you cover all of that? Well, if you came to the crematorium on Friday, we remembered a whole alphabet of memories for Dad, but today I want to keep it a little simpler. You see, in many ways, Dad was an overachiever. Take his height for one. He honestly did love those nurses at Eastbourne Hospital because they told him he was 5'4". But then in his own words, you never find a 6-foot diamond. But what he lacked in height, he made up for in character. Everyone, and I mean everyone, has said what a charmer Dad was. How many times did he say, "Your wisdom and kindness are only exceeded by your beauty and grace"? That was him. Even the undertaker called him the male version of the Vicar of Dibley. He'd have liked that. And we're just looking at who's here today. Looking at who came to the crematorium on Friday, he may have been short in stature, but he cast a long shadow. He was an overachiever. The same is true when it came to his working life. He left Abbeydale School at the age of 15 with no qualifications. And it's fair to say, at first, he struggled in work. He worked initially as an apprentice fitter at Coulson Mining Engineers, and he went to night school to learn the theory of technical drawing. But one tutor said his drawing was so poor that it resembled a tarantula crawling across a page. But then he joined the Royal Air Force. Dad served from 1955 to 1960 and told many stories from his RAF years, most of which were self-deprecating, about painting lines in the wrong places and not bashing squares in the way he should. But in truth, 4172876 Airman France was an excellent engineer who loved his time as service aircrew on Vampire bombers. We brought a table of things to remember Dad at the back. They were with us at his cremation on Friday. And there's a picture of his Vampire bomber. There's a picture of him next to an engine. He loved those engines. After the RAF, he spent 27 years at Feedback, eventually becoming senior buyer and purchasing manager. He worked hard and did well, even achieving an HND in business studies in his 40s. Then, as we've already heard, from 1994 to 2002, he served as the Vicar of Bodle Street and Warbleton. I tried to get that way round because he always liked Warbleton and Bodle Street, but he always felt that Bodle Street got left out. But I didn't quite get it right, so I'm sorry, Dad. He really loved his time as vicar here. And to the surprise of many, himself included, he was great at it. He was an overachiever. And it's true when it comes to his sporting life. Now, I may have teased Dad for being small, he really was, but he was born tiny, weighing a mere 3 pounds. And he had a damaged right leg, which meant he had to wear a caliper from the age of 3 to correct it. But despite this, Dad excelled at so many sports. In his time in the RAF, he was Flying Training Command Dean Sailing Champion and Butterfly Swimming Champion. And he enjoyed water polo, squash, cricket, running, golf and sailing. Now, of course, not everything was plain sailing, quite literally in one case. I hope this is the last time I tell this story, but it's a good one. I remember that we were sailing Pud one day, our mirror dinghy at Buell Valley Reservoir, when Dad got it all wrong. We had pulled the dinghy up to the jetty and I was kneeling, holding the painter, and he ready to step in. But instead of stepping into the middle of the boat, he stepped onto the edge, as if it was a larger boat. And for one glorious moment, and honestly, it's my happy thought in life, for one glorious moment, he looked straight at me, with 1 foot on the jetty and 1 foot on the boat. And the next moment, he fell down between the two with a small cry and a mighty splash. At least, he will never be forgotten. Yes, in many ways, Dad was an overachiever. He certainly was in his family life. It didn't get off to the best of starts. He'd only just broken off his engagement to Ernest Shackleton's granddaughter, of all things, when he met Mum for the first time. And his attempts to impress her nearly backfired. You see, Mum had a new umbrella. If you haven't heard that story, you will. And she was really proud of this umbrella. But on their first date, Dad damaged it, showing off his dancing. Luckily, Mum forgave him, and they got a second date. The rest, as they say, is history. They were together for 66 years and married for 64. Truly a lifetime together. Dad's last words at the hospice, shortly before he died, were to say, "I love you," to Mum. That's a great way to remember him. But it wasn't just Mum who had the privilege of being loved by Dad. In 1971, they adopted me. And then in 1975, they adopted Charlotte. But Jeff and Pam didn't just adopt Charlotte and me. They brought everyone into their family. Jack, Beth, Isabel and Rebecca, Steve, Wendy, Hannah, Jazz, Noah and Rose, and most recently Isaiah. Dad was an overachiever. And he did that with his cancer too. 4 years ago, we were given the fateful news that Dad had gastric cancer. We were told that at best, he had about 9 months to live 4 years ago. But he kept overachieving. When he reached the end of his chemotherapy, Dr. Donovan said he'd be lucky, he'd do well to see Christmas. He beat it. He was an overachiever. Even the day before he died, we were called to the hospice a little after 8 a.m. with the news that Dad didn't have long to live. But there he was, 4.5 hours later, with his hands behind his head, watching the Steel Town Derby on TV. Of course, true to form, Sheffield Wednesday lost 1-0. Even to the end. Well, you've got to laugh, haven't you? We have some wonderful memories of Dad. But as wonderful as all those things are, they're not what gives us hope today. What gives us hope is something that happened to my dad in 1957, when during his RAF service, another airman called Graham Loder told him about Jesus. In that moment, Dad made the most important decision of his life. He put his trust in Christ. He was, in the words of Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 3, born again. That's not just a churchy phrase. It's a spiritual reality. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But the good news is, being born again isn't something you achieve, but something God does by his Spirit. It's a gift of grace. And Dad, this achiever, overachiever in life, was also an overachiever in grace. He trusted in Jesus. He was made new. And that's where our hope lies today. Not just in memories, or even in love, as wonderful as these things are, but in the eternal life that Jesus promises in John chapter 3. I mean, if we look for a moment at John chapter 3, we see Nicodemus there having a quiet conversation we see Jesus having a quiet conversation with a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader, someone who spent his life studying God's law, trying to live rightly. And yet Jesus said something to him that turned his life upside down. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again, he has no hope for a relationship with God. Except a man be born again, there's no hope for heaven. See, that would have surprised Nicodemus. And it might surprise us too. If anyone could earn their way to heaven, surely it would have been someone like Nicodemus. But Jesus was making a bold point. It's not about our goodness. It's not about religion or ritual or the number of good deeds that we've done. Heaven isn't earned. It's received. And the only way is by being born again. But what does that mean? Jesus wasn't talking about physical rebirth. Nicodemus actually asked this. Surely we can't enter our mother's womb a second time. No. Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth. A complete renewal of not just the outside, but of the heart. It's a bit like this. Imagine that there's a beautiful painting that over time has been covered in layers and layers of dirt and dust and grime so that you can no longer see much of the original image itself, and all its beauty is gone. But in the hands of a skilled restorer, that dirt is gently, slowly removed, and the image beneath is revealed in all its glory, restored to what it was meant to be. That's what Jesus does with our lives. That's what it is to be born again. He restores what sin has broken. He gives us new life and a clean heart and a fresh start. And he does this not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. That's the other end of that reading from John chapter 3, from verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I want to share another story of Dad, one that he didn't talk much about. It was only towards the end of his life that we learnt that during his time in the Royal Air Force, he was awarded the Certificate of Bravery. Did you know that? I didn't find it out towards the end. And he was given the Certificate of Bravery when he was on air sea rescue, as he saved the pilot, navigator and six crew from a helicopter that went down during a training run. Dad rescued them. There were people in the water who couldn't save themselves. They needed someone trained, equipped and ready and willing to go out and bring them home. And Dad did that. And that also is exactly what Jesus did for us. See, we may not think of ourselves as in need of rescue. But the truth is, sin separates us from God. We're lost, floundering in a sea of guilt and brokenness. And God could have left us there. But instead, he came for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, the cross isn't just a symbol. It's the rescue mission of God. This is the good news of the Christian faith, that Jesus, God's own Son, came into this world to save us through his death on the cross. There's a famous story from World War II, you've probably heard it, about a Catholic priest called Maximilian Kolbe. Well, in July 1941, he was being held in Auschwitz when the Nazis selected 10 men at random to be put in a room to die by starvation. And one of those selected was a Polish army sergeant who cried out in despair because he had a wife and children. Hearing this, Kolbe stepped forward and volunteered to take his place. The man who lived was called Franciszek Gajowniczek. I've been practicing that one. And he survived the war. And he lived until 1995. And he spent that 40 years going around telling everyone of the incredible thing that Maximilian Kolbe did for him. But that, my friends, is what Jesus did for us on the cross. He took our place under God's judgment. That's why Friday is Good Friday. And yes, he died. But he also rose again. And because he lives, we have the promise of life beyond the grave. Dad believed this. And he believed it so passionately that his instructions for today, written down in black and white in his own handwriting, is that John chapter 3, verse 3, be preached so that everyone hear it. And so here we are. But you know, there is another part of Dad's journey to faith. You see, he may have come to faith in 1957, but for many years, he lived as if that hadn't happened. Then one year, he was sailing back from the Channel Islands. He was alone on the deck at night, and he was looking up at the stars above him, and suddenly his perspective changed, and he saw himself from God's point of view. He saw how small and significant he was on this boat in the middle of the sea, on the earth. And yet he remembered that Jesus died for him. He remembered the commitment that he'd made more than 25 years before. And from that moment on, he never forgot it. So today, as we remember Dad's life and legacy, can I gently invite you to reflect on your own life? Not just what you've achieved or what people might say about you, but something deeper. Have you ever considered what Jesus says in John chapter 3? You must be born again. Is that true of you? Have you ever asked yourself, where does your hope lie? Not just in this life, but for eternal life. See, Dad made that decision. He put his trust in Jesus, and it changed everything. And you can do the same. It isn't about religion or trying harder. It's about grace. It's about saying yes to the rescue that Jesus offers. Excuse me. Whether you've known about him for years or today is the first time, the invitation is still the same. God says, come home. Put your faith in the one who loves you, who gave his life for you, and who offers you a new beginning. Not just a better life now, but eternal life. That's the hope that Dad had. And it's the hope that he wants you to have too. So in a moment, I'm going to end with a prayer. And it's a prayer of commitment to Jesus. It's a prayer asking God to make us new and to be born again. If you want to, if you think you're ready, then you can echo this prayer in your heart. And you can say amen at the end, which means I agree. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life to rescue me. Today, I recognize my need for you. I admit that I've gone my own way, but I want to come home. Please forgive me. Give me a new heart, a fresh start, and help me to trust you and follow you. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again. And today I put my faith in you. Make me new. Let me be born again by your Spirit. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Amen.